Good morning. This is our service for Palm Sunday. We first will do the Liturgy of the Palm, and I would invite you to have handy your piece of greenery, which I invited you to have, to get the most out of this service. If you have a BAS, I invite you to turn to page 297. The collect for the service for the palm you will find on the bulletin which Monica has prepared. Let us come together in prayer. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Dear friends in Christ, during Lent we have been preparing for the celebration of our Lord's Paschal Mystery. On this day, our Lord Jesus Christ entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph. The people welcomed him with palm and shouts of praise, but the path before him led to self-giving, suffering, and death. Today we greet him as our King, although we know his crown is thorns and his throne a cross. We follow him this week from the glory of the palm to the glory of the resurrection, by way of a dark road of suffering and death. United with him in his suffering on the cross, may we share his resurrection and new life. Let us pray, following the prayer which is in our Sunday bulletin. Assist us mercifully with your help, Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy into the celebration of those mighty acts whereby you give us life and immortality. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. A reading from Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. When Jesus and his disciples had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you now to take your greenery and hold it in your hands. It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us, that through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the Hebrews acclaim Jesus as Messiah and King, with palm branches in their hands crying, "Hosanna in the highest." May we also, carrying these emblems, go forth to meet Christ and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. I now invite you to hold this up and imagine yourself walking to the church, swinging it back and forth. Let us go and forth in peace in the name of Christ. Amen. We now continue with our Liturgy of the Passion. And I invite you on your Sunday bulletin to join with me in the Collect for the Passion. Almighty God, who in your tender love for the human race sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility, mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his passion and also be made partakers of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, the 50th chapter, beginning at the 4th verse. The introduction to the reading. Our passage is one of four servant songs found in Isaiah. The first begins, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen." In late Judaism, the servant was seen as the perfect Israelite, one of supreme holiness, a Messiah. In the Gospels, Jesus identifies himself as the servant or slave, the one who frees all people. The reading. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Our psalm is Psalm 31. I invite you to take your bulletin and join with me in the reading. We'll pause slightly between the verses. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed. I become a reproach to all my enemies, and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. I am forgotten like a corpse, out of mind. I am as useless as a broken cot. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness, save me. Our epistle is taken from the letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, beginning at the fifth verse. The introduction. The writer has just urged the Christians at Philippi, through encouragement in Christ, and moved by God's love for them, to be the same mindset, having the same love, being in full accord. They are to regard others as better than themselves, freely adopting a lowly, unassertive stance before others, replacing self-interest with concern for others. A reading of the letter. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equity with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. We now shall turn to the reading of the Holy Gospel. You have the script with you if you wish to read it with me. On the Zoom broadcast of this service, members of the parish are reading this. The Holy Gospel for Palm Sunday, the introduction. It is 2 days before the combined festivals of Passover and Unleavened Bread. In that particular year, Passover begins on a Thursday evening. Many pilgrims have come to Jerusalem for the celebration. A woman has anointed Jesus for burial, a rite usually performed after death. But there will be no time then. The reading of the Holy Gospel. According to Matthew, the 26th chapter, beginning of the 14th verse. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray Jesus to you?" The priest paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment Judas began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And Jesus said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And the disciples became greatly distressed and began to say to him, one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, for one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes, as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one to not have been born. Judas, who betrayed him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. And Jesus replied, you have said so. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to his disciples, will you all become deserters because of me this night? For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. Peter said to him, they'll all become deserters of you because of you. I will never desert you. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. And going a little farther, Jesus threw himself on the ground and prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but you want. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you will not come into this time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, Jesus went away for the second time and prayed. My Father, if this cannot pass until I drink it, your will be done. Again, Jesus came and found the disciples sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up and let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, with him a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given the crowd a sign saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him. And once Judas came up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, do what you are here to do. Then the crowd came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scripture of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted Jesus and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, Peter sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to Jesus, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" The scribes and elders answered, "He deserves death." They spat in Jesus' face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." When Peter went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a while the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then Peter began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Judas said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But the chief priests and elders said, "What is that to us? See it for yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, Judas departed, and he went out and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of his own silver, said, "Is it not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money?" After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom the price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when Jesus was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But Jesus gave them no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to the crowd, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For Pilate realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests and the elders had handed Jesus over. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two of you do you want me to release for you?" And the crowd said, "Barabbas." Pilate says to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But the crowd shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourself." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped Jesus and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on Jesus and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. And as they went out, the soldiers came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry Jesus' cross. And when the soldiers came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. And over Jesus' head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with scribes and elders, were mocking Jesus, saying, "He saves others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if God wants to, for this man said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with Jesus also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." Then Jesus cried again, and with a loud voice, and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were there also, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. Joseph went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. Joseph then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what the impostor said while he was still alive. He said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, Jesus' disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has been raised from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayers for the day. Our cycle of prayer for this Sunday, we pray for the Evangelical Lutheran Church, the Dean and Council and Congregations of the Manitoba East Area of the Manitoba and Northwestern Ontario Synod. We also, in the Anglican Church, pray for Brent Ellis, Bishop, clergy and people in our companion and diocese of the Northern Philippines, and with our partner parish, Matthew Joy Neftala, St. Gregory of Nazareth Mission, and the Tang Out Station. In the Anglican Church in Canada, we pray for Archbishop and Irma, people and clergy of the Ecclesiastical Province of Ontario. We pray for Primate Archbishop Linda Nichols, for the National Anglican Indigenous Archbishop Mark MacDonald, and for the Anglican Council of Indigenous People. Also, Archbishop and Metropolitan of BC and Yukon, our own Bishop Melissa Skelton. In our diocese, we pray for the Street Outreach Initiative with Matthew Johnson. We pray, too, for the Diocesan Indigenous Justice Coordinator, Jerry Adams, and for the clergy in our parish. I invite you to join me in this litany, number 14 for Lent. With confidence, let us pray to the Lord, saying, "Lord, have mercy." For the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church throughout the world, we pray to you, Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the mission of the Church that is in faithful witness, it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those preparing for baptism, confirmation, and for their teachers and sponsors, we pray to you, Lord. Lord, have mercy. For peace in the world, especially we pray for Syria, and we pray also for all the people who are in fear and panic at this time because of the COVID-19 virus, for which we have no natural defense, that's spreading across the planet. For people of all colors, races, religions, and languages, all are in jeopardy, all are in fear. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will calm us all around the globe, and that we learn together we fight this pandemic and not allow evil to separate us. We pray that a spirit of respect and reconciliation may grow among all nations and peoples. We pray to you, Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray for the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer. for refugees, prisoners, and all in danger, that they may be relieved and protected. As we think of the sick this day, we think of Ken, we think of Jack, we think of all who we love in nursing homes, we think of people in our own families, and I invite your prayers for them now. We pray for all in danger, especially healthcare workers in this time of the virus who are fighting often with inadequate equipment to help to bring people back to wholeness, and for them working and walking beside people who are in great distress because of the ravages of the virus in their bodies. We pray that they may be relieved and protected. We pray to you, Lord. Lord, have mercy. In a moment of silence in this Lenten season, I invite you to reflect upon all those who you wish to be reconciled, and to ask God to forgive your sins, your moving away from God and God's love in your actions. We pray for all whom we have injured or offended. We pray to you, Lord. Lord, have mercy. We ask for grace to amend our lives and to further the reign of God. We pray to you, Lord. Lord, have mercy. And we know that our sins are forgiven by your love. And we know this in your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Here's a few notices for you, and then we'll finish our service with our final prayers. my sermon, which will be shared at the 11 o'clock Zoom service this morning, will be sent out through the internet and also be posted on our webpage as we have in the past. The meditation group will not meet face to face this week, but will meet via Zoom on Wednesday, and I will send out a link to all who have indicated in the past that they have some interest in meditation, and you're welcome to join with Jerry as he leads the group. I remind the parish council members that we have a Zoom parish council meeting on Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and I'll be sending the link out for that. These links are important because they're part of our privacy protection. If you don't have the link, you won't be able to join us. On this week, on Good Friday, we are going to have a Way of the Cross. It is a very interesting way. Jerry and Anne White and myself are putting it together. I've already had one volunteer to help read in the service. It's going to be between 10 and 11 o'clock on Good Friday morning. And if you would like to be one of the readers, we have a script for the Way of the Cross. It would have been the material that we would have used in Agassiz had we not been all shut down because of the virus. So you're more than welcome to send me a note and say you'd like to read, and I will send you the script and we'll work out what parts you take. So I look forward to that. And it's going to be quite a powerful service because we're going to be talking about the crucifixion of the earth. So I hope you will join us. That's on Friday morning, Good Friday morning, at 10 o'clock. Remind you that there is, well, in this time of social distancing, we still have to be warm and friendly and connected together as a church family. And so if you want to pick up the phone and call a church member, do so, because it's a time to connect and keep our community alive. We ask for God's blessings this week on Will Watchorn, who on Monday, celebrates his birthday on April the 9th. There will not be a Monday service Thursday but there will be Good Friday and Easter. We pray also this day as we enter service. We pray for hospital staff, as we mentioned, and for the people who are suffering with COVID-19. It's a horrid illness, tougher than the flu for most people, especially when you're over the age of 60. Merciful God, we entrust to your tender care those who are ill or in pain, knowing that whatever danger threatens, your everlasting arms are there to hold them safe. Comfort and heal them, and restore them to health and strength. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for the sick, and your wisdom to those searching for a cure. Strengthen them with your Spirit, that through their work, many will be restored to health, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy in this time of uncertainty and distress. Sustain and support the anxious and fearful, and lift up all who are brought low, that we may rejoice in your comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love. Asking this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a prayer for the earth, our planet home. All praise be yours, my Lord, through all that you have made. And first, my Lord, brother, son, who brings the day, how beautiful is he, how radiant in all his splendor. Of you, Most High, he bears the likeness. All praise be yours, my Lord, through sister moon and stars, and the heavens you have made them bright, precious and fair. All praise be yours, my Lord, through brothers, wind and air. All praise be yours, my Lord, through sister water, so useful, lowly, precious and pure. All praise be yours, my Lord, through brother fire, through whom you brighten up the night. All praise be yours, my Lord, through sister earth, our mother, who feeds us and produces various fruits with colored flowers and herbs. Praise and bless my Lord, and give him thanks, and serve him with great humility. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.